The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Well, hello, honey.
Hi. I mean, how are you feeling today?
I am so exhausted. I mean, let's just dive right in. We have a lot to get through. We have wedding things to talk about. We have sharks to talk about again. And I was in Japan. So I am so exhausted. I have such bad jet lag. And it hits you harder the older that you get.
Well, what I'm excited about, Johnny, is when you are more, you know, like, say you're jet lagged or you're tired, you bounce less on your chair during the podcast. When you come in and I could just see you in Delaware with your venti, you know, latte, just like start of the day, Johnny bouncing on his chair. That doesn't happen so much when you're tired. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in rare form. I got back yesterday and it was a quick trip to Japan. So, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners have flown from America to Japan or how often it happens to them. But I go to Asia seemingly a lot. And, you know, as, you know, Empress of Japan, the Queen of Japan, I have to hold court over there pretty regularly. And it's a hard trip. It takes a lot out of you. And when you only go for 6 days or so, your body never really adjusts. So I flew over, I flew back, and then next Monday I fly back again for a 2-week stretch of shows. But, you know, I'm really in it to win it. I really only flew back to America this time so that we could record this podcast.
I mean, the podcast means that much to you, obviously. So thank you for coming all the way back.
You're welcome.
I'm worried about my jet lag going to the honeymoon.
Well, because what's going on with honeymoon?
Okay, so we're going for a while. So this was the thing. I felt like, you know, Todd and I are of a certain age where, you know, there's probably children in our future. You know, even though I feel like I'm 12, I'm not.
Yeah, and you want to create these
Johnny
children on the honeymoon?
Wants or? A little Ava.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not the time because we have the Olympics.
We have the Olympics. So the problem is, though, is I sort of thought this through, and I've traveled a lot to Europe, and I love it, and I've been to Japan, been to Australia, but I've never been to Southeast Asia and really have seen things. And, you know, like, obviously, like, as basic as it is, like, a honeymoon with, like, going to one of those places, you know, that's, you have your own little hut, and it's, like,
a hut over the water.
Right.
That's going to get blown away as soon as one wind comes by.
Or sharks just
sharks
furiously
swirling around the bottom. Oh, I'll just toss my room service into the water since I'm done. You know, sharks will come.
Well, we definitely wanted to do that. And we're going to the Maldives, and then we're going to Thailand and Vietnam. And so,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So Todd and I love to work, and I also love to travel. Todd hasn't traveled as much. Last year was like one of his first big trips, like out of the country, and he loved it. So I think he got the bug a little bit.
Yeah.
But you remember, like, when we were training and we traveled for work, but not for fun, you just like don't pick up the travel bug quite yet.
Yeah, you're not going to go and see, oh,
no,
I was at the Notre Dame and I just sat for 3 hours and cried looking at it.
You're just happy to stay home and train.
Yeah.
So I'm not like that anymore. So I broached the subject with Todd and I was like, hey, I think we should do a long honeymoon. And he's like, well, I have this. I was like, okay, yeah, I could see that. But what we decided to do is,
don't lie to the people. You just sat there and gave him a side eye until he caved.
So pretty much I was just like, okay, so you want to take 1 day off the trip? I can do that. No. So what he's done, though, is he's like backed. I feel so sorry for him because I know what it's like just planning the rest of this wedding and everything that has to be done before you go. So he's in the midst of that. But he like booked himself solid with like 4 jobs at once. So he's like editing till 2 a.m. Then he wakes up and he's in the office by 8 working on another project. And then this weekend he's like editing again on this other project and then shooting for 3 days. And then he like flies and does another like shoot for the Golf Channel. Like he has all these jobs lined up just so he sort of can feel like, all right, I did, you know, months of work.
I deserve a vacation.
In a little bit of time. And I deserve a vacation. And, you know, all these pieces will sort of come out as we're on the honeymoon or as we're getting home, which is fun. And I feel the same way. I'm like, you know what? I've been working a lot. Obviously, we're on our off season, but I have my other projects. That I'm too superstitious to talk about, but that I'm working on. And then I have the wedding. You
not
know
telling
that
any of you
can't.
Anything.
I can't. Even with Johnny, I mean, when we have something, I'm like, Johnny, don't say anything yet. We can't talk about it yet.
Yeah, I mean, you and I don't even talk to each other about our individual projects that we work on.
No, I mean, I do when I know it's like something that's actually going to happen. But I feel like when people talk about it, you just jinx it. It's bad luck to say anything till it's actually there. I feel like with Korea coming up, which is not that, I mean, once the wedding's done, it's like 6 months, 7 months away, which is crazy. So I am going to go on this honeymoon and just relax. And then when I get home, it's, you know, I have a month to regroup. And then, I mean, it's going to be one of the busiest years of our lives. So we are going for like 40 days.
Just as a little pre-note to this 40-day trip around the world, Swiss Family Robinson, Capostasi style, if there aren't podcasts,
it's Tara's fault. It's my fault, but we will make up for it. Maybe we'll do some in advance. We'll do something. So we're going to Maldives first, and we're staying at this, it's called the One and Only, and it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Thailand, and we're doing Chiang Mai, and we're doing Koh Samui.
Koh Samui.
Yes.
Jackie really liked Koh Samui.
So we're excited about that. And then we go to Vietnam, and we're doing Hanoi and Saigon. And then we are going to Europe and doing like Italy and Greece.
Nice.
I know.
So you're going to be very, very tan for you.
Yeah, very tan for me. I had to go get all the do you get vaccines? It makes me very nervous. And then they're like, do you want the Japanese encephalitis vaccine? And he's like, you probably don't need it. But I was like,
load me up.
But I was like, do I need it? And what are the pros and cons of doing it? Like, it just seemed like the doctor didn't give me like advice. Like, you should get it. He's just like, well, you know, are you going to be in a rural area? And I'm like, no, I mean, I am going to go ride an elephant.
I mean, you are going to
Is
Vietnam.
That in the middle of, you know, where we're staying? Probably not. So does that mean I need this vaccine? And Todd just like laughs. He's like, oh, you don't need it. My luck, I will get every disease there is.
Yeah, I'm under the impression that any body of water that the public can go in is basically a toilet that doesn't flush.
Oh.
So I like to go with that as my mentality when it comes to public pools or some sort of tourist attraction where there are the elephants with the painted faces and things. Like, that is just a big vat of piddle that you're going in.
Great.
And it's various worldly piddles. It isn't just like good all American piddle, you know, that we're used to swimming around and being able to ward off the diseases from. I mean, that's third world piddle that you're going to swim in just so you can sit on a I was going to say dolphin head, an elephant head. So I don't know. I get vaccines, usually the ones that you contract diseases from, like kitchen staff pooping and then not washing their hands and putting it in your food. Like, I get vaccines against those diseases. But, you know, the crazy stuff, I kind of let go and let God.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I know you.
You've gotten all of them.
Well, we're going to do them. I'm just going to be on the safe side, the malaria pills. I get nervous with these things.
Yeah. Stay away from those vaccines because they make you sick before you actually go.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to be sick.
No. That's the honeymoon. I'm gonna be gone. I'm excited. I planned the whole thing. Because I'm nuts, like every detail, I just realized this with the wedding. Like, I cannot give up control of anything. So like I used
really?
A travel agent. And I realized, like, I just am nuts. Like, I need to know exactly what everything looks like. I need to research it myself. I need to spend hours doing this, and I don't know why I can't give up control of anything.
What's going to be so much fun is packing. You're going to need steamer trunks and stuff for that long of a trip.
Do you ever use those compression bags?
Of course I do.
Should I use them?
I mean, I feel like it's a good idea, but most of your farm separates are kind of pretty, you know, wash and go. You could wash those in a sink, hang them over the rod in your bathroom, and just go.
You love farm my separates. Farm clothes.
I love your farm separates. In Japan, actually, I wore my one piece of farm separates. It was a beautiful tank top with butterflies on it.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, we got matching ones, and then I hated it so much when I tried it on that I took it back and got a pair of flip-flops.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about being me is that I really don't care how they look on me or how they make my body look. If it's sort of tent-like,
I know.
I usually enjoy it.
So, guys, I'm getting stuff for my bridesmaids and my glorious bridesman, and I was, like, sending out emails of, you know, sizes of, like, shirts. And, of course, I mean, Johnny is very fit, in shape, and he comes back with the answer of, like, no, not a large, an extra large. I'm looking for more of a moo-moo shirt.
I would love, and, you know, I pretty much do exclusively wear moo-moos, especially spring, summer. Anything white and flowing and oversized and tent-like is kind of my go-to because I get really hot and I don't really like to show off my body that much. I mean, I work hard for it and all, but still.
You should.
Should we talk more about Japan? I mean,
yeah,
I got some
looks.
Yeah,
let me know. How did it go?
Well, you know, I was really worried about my conditioning before I went, and I was doing, you know, essentially four new choreographed pieces for the shows, and that's a lot, guys. It's a lot to take on, and I don't really have time to, you know, dedicate to going someplace and having choreography done. I mean, Tara's still on her river cruise.
I'm still on my river cruise. I'll be there next year.
Yeah. God, can you imagine the cruise ship pools? How much piddles in those? I was really nervous about my conditioning before I went. And as soon as I got on the ice in front of all those people, it was really like riding a bike. And I know I played the clip of Amazing Grace a few podcasts ago for everyone to hear. And in case you aren't privy or you're just a new fan listening to this podcast for the first time, I will be skating when I go back to Japan next week to a horrible rendition of Amazing Grace.
Oh.
I've been trying to get my head wrapped around that. But anyway, the first set of shows, I had a collaboration with a pianist, and it was pretty easygoing, and you can kind of just listen to the melody, and classical's in my wheelhouse. I like that direction. I wore a pretty costume, the whole thing. Then the second piece that I was performing in each show was of my own design, my own choreography. I chose the music and all that thing. And one of the new pieces was sort of emo. It's to a piece called How It Ends, and then it segues into You and Me, which is a disclosure sort of fun dance piece. But anyway, it's really sort of a downer program, and it's all choreographed about heartbreak and, you know, death. And it went over the program for a Japanese audience, because you really have to think internationally when you're creating stuff, as you know. And you have to make sure that when you choose a new piece of choreography or a new program that it's going to work in other countries as well as in America. And you have to think, well, in America, things like Nicki Minaj and Beyonce go over really well because it's fun and it's uplifting and entertaining, whereas in Japan, they're so into competitive figure skating that you still have to think about the elements that you put in and being a little bit more lyrical or elegant or whatever. But anyway, this first, the How It Ends program went over like a penis drawn into a Bible. It just it was not well liked. It was not well clapped for. So I kind of got the shits of it and changed on the last day of the show to Chandelier. And I debuted that for the first time. So that went well.
Oh, nice.
But on practice on the last morning, I tore something in my hip. So it's like, I don't even know what it is. But basically, when you get a little hip tear and you're an ice skater, you just basically have to wait for it to fuse itself back together.
Yeah, you just do what I did and skate on it for years. And then
yeah, until your leg falls off and you have to do surgery.
Real quick, before you keep going, speaking of hips, so my doctor, Mark Philippon, who saved my career and fixed my hip, he is coming to the wedding with his wife, which is so exciting. Like, I haven't really had a chat with him in years. But he's
always...
Do you
think he could fuse my hip together while we're getting hair and makeup?
While you're there, maybe he can fix you. Let me just go, before you go back to Japan, because I want to hear more, but let's just talk about my doctor for a second, because I've been thinking about him a lot ever since he responded. And, like, Todd's like, why do you keep telling me this? I'm just like, it's so strange how life is, though, because probably for the last 10 years, I haven't really, you know, I have not seen him nor have called him nor anything. But this man was, like,
instrumental in
saving my career and was awesome. So this doctor was, like, the first one back in the day that, like, you know, was able to do the surgery in a different way instead of, you know, when you even had a labrum tears, which is what I had in the olden days, they would literally almost have to open you up. And it was such a long recovery and blah, blah, blah. And he developed this technique, and it's genius, because you go into surgery and you can literally stand up the next day. And so I had a hip injury, if people don't know, for many years, most likely from my loop. No, seriously, because I mean, Johnny,
I know.
You have tight hips
funny.
Like me too. So the problem is people that don't really understand the ins and outs of, you know, how your body works on the ice with jumps or spinning or the torque. But, like, a lot of skaters either have super tight hips, which I think is the best for rotating very fast.
Let's talk about sports for a minute. I want to bring that up. So
let's talk about physics.
So physics and skating. So usually it's really hard for skaters that have very open hips or very flexible hips. If you think of people that are very flexible, like a Sasha Cohen, for example, that's a name that many of you might know. She was very flexible, but it was sometimes hard for her to keep consistency in her jumps because she didn't have the tightness in her hips to kind of save those landings, because she was so flexible, she would just sort of open up and fall out of these jumps and things.
Well, so if you think about it, in the air, you have to be as aerodynamic as possible. Just this little, you know, straight, no air in between your arms, no air between your legs, toothpick. And the more compact you are, the more turned in you are, the better. So we are the same, and our hips are very, very tight
and
turned
tight.
In. Like, I butterfly, like, cannot even barely open my legs. But the other way, I can, like, turn my knees and, like, sit with my knees turned in just comfortably. That's how, like, turned in I am. So anyway, so when you're doing a triple loop, which is this jump where you're very squared off. And
you take off of an edge, which we're getting real skating.
We're getting real skating here.
So it takes off of an edge instead of, you know, many of the jumps have a toe pick that you kind of drive into the ice to help get you into
the air.
But a loop and a sow cow and an axel are the jumps that are edge jumps, and you have no assistance. So it's really all about force and technique. And Tara was famous for doing the triple loop. She was the first ever and the last one to really do it well. So you do that enough, and Tara's crazy work ethic.
Yep.
You're gonna tear your labrum.
Right. So my labrum was probably starting to be a problem the year of the Olympics and the year after the Olympics, but I didn't really feel it. You know what I mean? It was almost like I was getting referred pain in my back and all this stuff. But I mean, you deal with so many injuries, and when it's not really bad and you can keep skating through it, you're like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then
try and hurt me, God. I'll show you.
And then, like, a year and a half or 2 years afterwards, I forget which jump I did, and I heard a pop and I fell, and, like, my leg went numb, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was so freaked out. I mean, my leg was numb, and I was like, heard this loud pop. It was in my hip. I knew something was terribly wrong. I, like, went to they took me off in a stretcher, took me to the hospital. I went to a great doctor. They did an MRI. They're like, they gave me some growth plate, avulsion, pop, something, but I was misdiagnosed. So for years, I was in terrible, terrible pain. I was still jumping, and I hated it. It was horrible. It was, like, the worst pain. I used to travel on tour with, like, my, like, medical kit of, like, you know, I would just read anything, and it was like, if someone said rub, like, raw egg and baby powder on your hip, you know, may make you feel better. Mm-hmm. Like, I would try it. I mean, I had Tiger Balm for days, Epsom salt baths every night. Like, that was not fixing, like, my labrum that was torn in half. And then finally, my parents were like, okay, we're going to intervene. We found a doctor. They came to me when I was on rehearsals, Stars on Ice rehearsals, And I don't think I ever told you this story. I was in a lot of pain. They had found out about it. And one day after practice, my mom and dad show up at the rink. And I'm like, what? Hi.
What?
Like, why are you in Connecticut? Like, I have rehearsals to do. And we went back to the hotel and they're like, pack up. We're going to Fort Lauderdale. And I was like, no, I'm not going. Like, absolutely not. I was nuts about taking any time off the ice. And they were so serious that I was like, I'm not packing even a toothbrush. And they're like, fine. All right, get in the car. So I left everything in Simsbury. Like, I was being so stubborn. And they're like, we have a flight. We got to go. We'll figure out what to do with your luggage later. So we flew to Fort Lauderdale. We go into Dr. Philippon's. And I melt down. I, like, completely melt down because he does an MRI with the dye and does this other thing, whatever it is, where he can actually really see because I was so small. I mean, I'm still so small. He really needed the dye to sort of figure it out. And he's like, yeah, like, we have to do surgery immediately. Like, your labrum's almost, like, it's catching inside of your joint. Like, you could have serious problems if we don't do this. Like, it's so bad. Bone is rubbing on bone, like. It's we're doing it, and we're doing it tomorrow. I'm like, well, tomorrow's Sunday. I was trying to find a way out of everything. He's like, no, I know. I've already set it all up. Like, it was like this conspiracy, like, that.
Well, you weren't going to do it on your own. You were going to choose to go have surgery.
Yes. But, like, this was happening and whatever. So I wake up the next day, and I go in, and I had a meltdown because he's, like, showing me all the images. And I remember crying hysterically in his office. I was like, I will never skate again. I will never, you know, do another triple loop. And when am I going to be on the ice? And he's like, don't you worry about it. Like, I'll make it happen. And this was in September. And November is when tour started. And this is how magical he was. But the next day, he was an amazing doctor. I had the surgery. He stayed with me during the therapy. He brought me to his home. I was in his pool doing all these with therapists, doing all these sorts of exercises to get me back on track. I went home. I was set up with a great PT guy, and I was in so much pain. But the deal was that I could get on the ice in a week, even if I just wanted to put my skates on. Well, I think he said that just to get me into surgery, because then all of a sudden I was like, okay, like, I'm going to the rink. Like, I was on crutches going to the rink. And so he flew down to Houston because he's like, oh my God, she's going to ruin my surgery. And, like, watched me as I, like, hobbled around the ice 7 days later. But he was the guy that I would call on tour whenever there was a problem. He literally fixed my hip. And surgery was the end of September. And November 1st, I did two triples and opened the show in Lake Placid for Stars on Ice. So he holds a very special place in my heart, and he was always there for me. There'd be times where I'd call and he'd be like, hey, literally he would say I'm in surgery. And I used to think, is he joking? Is he walking into surgery? Is he actually in surgery? Like, why is he picking up my call?
Meanwhile, he's
I
got
hope he
you,
didn't do that
he's
on
got
me.
His phone in the crook of his neck while he's got somebody opened up on his table.
Right. So anyway, but he's coming to the wedding, which is super exciting. I keep thinking, like, is it a mistake? Did he put no? And I, you know, by mistake, but no, he's coming. So you get to meet him. Maybe he can fix your hip while you're there.
Yeah, I want to talk to him, too, about when you have Ava. Like, if we're going to have to cut your belly open and take Ava out, or if you're going to have her natural.
Right.
Because I don't want his surgery to get messed up and you not to be able to triple loop anymore.
Right, true. Exactly.
But, guys, when we come right back, we are going to talk about Tiger Woods' mugshot and Harry Styles and, you know, more flowers and stuff.
Sunday, football's top players battle it out. Who will overcome the obstacles and outshine them all? The answer lies in the stars, the superstars on NBC.
One, two, three, out!
Hello, we're back. So we're talking about Harry Styles, Johnny?
Yeah, so I have a new idea that I wanted to add a bit, somewhat like Fan Corner and Fan Cabin. Just by the way, everyone, if you wanted to join Fan Cabin with a K, you know, we are not quite taking reservations yet. They just put the heated marble floors in.
Oh, yeah.
To the bathrooms.
I saw those. The tile's really nice as well.
Super beautiful. So we're waiting for it to get built, and we will build it for you all, and then we'll go from there. But, honey, I want to add Cool Corner.
Oh, my God.
And I would like to, it's cool with a K and corner with a K, obviously.
Corner?
Cool corner. So I want to talk about stuff that we think is cool, just like a little 30-second sort of lifestyle, you know, oh, well, this week I love, you know, grasshopper cookies, or, you know, next week I love, you know, making teepees out of, you know, foreskin, whatever it may be. I think we should have a cool corner, and Harry Styles is my entry for cool corner this week.
Okay, so why? First off, cool corner is, I mean, I hated fan corner. I kind of like
now you love
fan,
it because you love our fans.
I love our fans, but I still don't like corner. And now we have a fan cabin, and now we have a cool corner.
Yeah, cool corner is the corner
I'm watching
where all the cool things live.
A baby commercial right now in the background, and I feel like this fits in with us, Johnny. Somehow.
Kind of unclear as to why you're watching television while we're doing a podcast. I flew all the way from Japan.
Well, it's in the
to
background.
Do this and you're
it's
just
like
watching
a huge
TV.
Screen in the background. Now there's a Dairy Queen commercial that looks amazing. Like, I don't know what the new.
Here's
oh my God,
thing.
They just said fan food. Oh, man.
Anyway, cool corner this week from my entry. I know I haven't given you a lot of time to choose what you think is cool this week, but I think Harry Styles is really cool, and here's why. He has a new single called It's a Sign of the Times. It really just hits me right in my heart, and I just think Harry Styles is really cool. That's all cool corner is. We're just going to say like what we think is cool, and
oh
then we'll
gosh.
Move on.
This is...
You're still watching TV instead of listening
no,
to
no,
what I think
I,
is cool?
I feel like I don't want to hurt your feelings on this at all.
You probably shouldn't today because when mommy hurts, we all hurt, especially
right.
when she's jet lagged. Also, I just had a procedure. Also, my hip is messed up, so don't.
But I just wonder just if maybe wait. You want to rethink Cool Corner. Like maybe
nope,
you're a
cool
little
corner is
tired
cool.
or jet lagged or, you know, was this.
I think
this
it's a great idea and I've never had a better
late
one,
night.
So.
You know, thought that
no.
you had, or is this you no, really
but speaking,
thought it through?
Speaking about my Ambien addiction, let's talk about Tiger Woods' mugshot for a minute.
Cool corner's over, guys.
Cool corner's over.
This is so silly.
So, yeah, I feel bad whenever athletes, you know, mess up because, you know, we all respect and love athletes so much just because they've achieved a lot, and it's not like they're multi-bajillion-dollar actors or something. Like, they all kind of started from the bottom, now we hear. That's how athletes generally work out. So I feel bad when I see athletes in the news for bad reason. And, you know, I've been that one, and, I mean, I think we've all been there. If you're a well-known athlete, you kind of have been there for whatever reason. Not that you have DUIs and things, but, you know, something always will be bad press.
Right.
And, you know, I saw Tiger Woods' mugshot. And they're saying now that it wasn't necessarily a alcohol-induced DUI, but that he'd mixed prescriptions because I guess he just had a back surgery. I don't follow golf, but I guess he just had a back surgery and he mixed some pills and was out driving.
Ooh.
Now, you know, when I have trouble sleeping, I've taken Ambien and I have never wanted to drive.
No.
I don't know what sort of pill combination would make you want to drive someplace, but his eyes... That mugshot was real good.
Yeah.
Like, I had a nice, solid 20-minute laugh about his eyes in that mugshot because, I don't know, like, you had to really tie one on good to get that kind of Google eye.
I mean, he didn't look his best, let's just say that. He looked
yeah,
real
definitely.
Tired.
He looked very, very underslept.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't need to get too far into the Tiger Woods drama because I don't really understand it or... follow it that much, but we wish him a speedy recovery. That's for sure.
I mean,
you know,
hope your
legend.
Back is better.
Hope
you can get off those pills.
Hope you can stop mixing whatever you mix to, you know, I want what he's got. I mean, those eyes look real distant and blacked out and happy.
Oh, man.
I'd like to be on that cloud.
Oh, goodness. I don't know about that. It's so funny. So my dad, like, parents, I don't know if you are they do they email you or do they text you?
I just kind of prefer it when no one texts me or calls
right.
me or does anything to me. I just like to
well
be
my
alone.
Mom does not do email, like it's just she just purely texts.
Yeah.
My dad,
I mean, my
will
parents
do both.
Know that I don't email. My dad will call and usually it's an accident because my dad doesn't really enjoy talking to me that much. But my mom is a big texter. And she sends me pup dates that really hurt my feelings when I'm traveling. And
yeah.
she has learned to use emojis. Your mom likes Bitmojis.
My mom
though.
Loves Bitmojis. And my dad doesn't use any of that. My dad still has. So he has a iPhone for work. but he doesn't like to use it. So he still has his flip phone. Like a flip phone. My dad is so strange. Like until a few years ago, he drove like the car that I grew up in was this big like Chrysler silver, like it was disgusting, like huge boat of a car that would just make you sick to drive in it because it was like didn't have like the, I don't know what it is that this is like something with a suspension that would like make you literally car sick the moment you would get in.
So it was like a cruise ship.
It was horrible.
Or and a log flume.
He kept it for like literally until like 4 or 5 years ago. He just wouldn't give it up. And we're like, Dad, you need a new car and you can actually get a nicer car now. Like, why don't you do like, nope. Same with the flip phone. Refuses to get use his iPhone. So when it comes to texting, he just he won't say much. It's like so cold because like I'll be like ask him a question. And it's so hard for him to write. So he'll just put like a Y as like, yes. N for no. It's like cryptic and it's annoying, but he does email. And I just got an email now that popped up and it was like, so for the welcome party, it's Southern casual for the attire. And he just wrote, Tara, what is Southern casual? Like, what does that actually mean? And it's like my dad with this wedding, he has so many random questions that you just realize it's like an age thing that he just doesn't get now that he's a bit older.
Well,
like,
I mean, Southern casual. I love you, and I love Neiman Marcus a lot. But I mean, that is a real pretentious way of putting it. Why don't you explain to everybody what Southern casual is?
Wait, so you think my dad's right? Like, I feel like Southern casual.
No, I mean,
is just
I
like,
get it.
Hey,
I
like
mean,
girls in a sundress, right? That would be Southern casual to me.
Agreed.
Guys, like, if they want to wear linen pants, they can wear linen pants. If they want to wear like a
linen pants are the stupidest creation ever. Because as soon as you sit down,
you can wear a pastel shirt. You can wear some, you know, shoes. That's Southern casual.
A boat shoe.
Some boat shoes are cool.
I'd rather a sneaker over a boat shoe. Jeez.
I think.
Oh, I'm not even there yet. I know you live in the wedding world, which you should, but I'm trying to get through this Amazing Grace. Like that's where I am mentally.
Well, how many days do you have before the wedding when you get back?
I get home on the 19th and I come to you on the 22nd.
Okay, so you have a few days to regroup.
Oh, yeah. And I'll have a full plan. I mean, as soon as I wrap my head around it.
Or like for the actual wedding guys, his wedding outfit is just going to be ridiculous.
It is. But something I actually don't even want to tell you because
oh, no.
I don't want to add
wrong.
To your plate. No, nothing's wrong. It's
something's
just
wrong.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't. I will not be able to get to Andrew Morrison, who's creating my wedding look. I will not be able to go see him. So we may be in a situation where because my scheduling got all messed up, because it's not even important, but my scheduling got all messed up and I don't have time to get to New York before I go to Japan this time. So while we do have, 3 weeks until the wedding, I will have 3 days before the wedding, technically unscheduled 3 days. And that's not enough time for me to get up to New York, have him fit me, make alterations and whatever, because all of this stuff moves at a glacial pace. So what's going to happen is I'm going to have him create everything, and he has my measurements, and he's a designer and the whole thing, and I'll have to have him send it to me, and then I'll get my tailor down here to get it all ready. So you won't be embarrassed. Everything's going to be good, but just it is not ideal at the moment.
Uh-oh. Don't... What happens if it doesn't work?
It always works.
Okay.
One thing that for sure will work, though, are my shoes. Brad Griffies, who is an old friend of mine. I'm just saying, Brad Griffies, he's an old friend of mine. He makes a lot of skating dresses. He is customizing a pair of Hermes shoes for me. And he finished those at the end of last week, and they're absolutely stunning. You're going to be at least happy with my shoes.
Oh, I love it.
And hopefully my face. the suit, we'll have to see.
Is all I care about.
Yes, I will be there. I have a flight, and it's going to Charleston.
Awesome.
Not Charlotte.
Are you working on your speech still?
Yes, I have Post-its, honestly, everywhere. Because I hate saving things in my phone. I don't even know how to use my iCalendar. So I have little Post-its everywhere, and I'm going to put them all together. That is my goal for a plane trip back to Japan, is to write the final script of my speech.
Oh, how exciting. I'm really worried about my vows. I just don't know if they're good or not. Like, how do you know what's good or not?
I think
you know,
my usual
like,
test
am I on
is
the
if
right
it,
track?
If it moves me. when I write something, if it moves me, then I know it's good.
You know what? I'm going to send you them, and I just want you to tell me what you think.
Okay. If they, you know what? I feel like speaking from the heart is important, but you can't make yourself cry. But like we've talked about before on here, I feel like you definitely have to talk first.
Yeah,
because he will say something and it'll get you right in the heart and
agreed.
You'll cry.
And he'll be good at what he does. I feel like he's going to have like amazing vows.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it weird that I'm annoyed? I'm like, oh, God, he's going to have such good vows.
No.
So well, annoying. Like,
well,
God.
You live in a world full of win. And if Todd Cat beats you with the vows, I mean, God.
Oh, boy.
How's this marriage going to work if he beats you with the vows? Speaking of, I saw on your Instagram your flower situation. I mean, you showed me months ago, but I wasn't quite sure what you'd actually gone with. But this cascading, I had several orgasms in rapid fire succession.
It's going to be insane. Like, I can tell you the flowers. So Jackson Durham. So there's all these beautiful flower companies in Los Angeles and New York and, you know, in the South. And I follow them on Instagram, and I've loved some of these photos from weddings, and you know how I feel about flowers, and I wanted to really do it up with the flower thing. And I found my wedding planner put me in touch with Jackson Durham, and they kind of do the whole South area, I think, like Dallas and Atlanta and that whole thing. And they've become like my flower family. Like, I adore them. Like, yesterday I was like, hey guys, can you please like come to the reception and have dinner and stay? And they're like, well, we're going to be like working your wedding, so we can't. But I love them that much. Heath, Jacob, Lauren, they have taken like my vision. And as you can see from that one photo, but you'll see at the wedding, it's just they've done it to a T, and it's so gorgeous. And the ceremony flowers and the reception. I mean, the flowers, I feel like, are going to be the main attraction. And I can't. Like, out of the entire wedding, I'm so excited to see the flowers, because they're going to nail it. So you're going to love it. You're going to love all the little touches. Like, what we're doing with flowers is kind of crazy. You're going
to
love it.
What's great is to distract mommy with other things so she can't focus on the main event. Like, distract mommy with a small Yadro figurine.
Like, mommy is going to be in full mommy mode. So I feel like with my dress or whatever it is, I could just see you like in the middle of me saying my vows, like come over and be like, oh, you're here. Let me just buff that line out of your face and hey.
Oh, were you smiling?
Wait, let me check your teeth, Tara. Okay, now you can proceed.
Tara, we talked about you smiling. You're going to mess up your makeup.
Oh, Mommy did not spend her life giving up everything for this wedding.
Oh, do you think Mommy likes a smile line in your foundation at your own wedding? Mommy didn't even buy that
just
Suzanne Summers book.
Just throw the pictures out. Don't even want to see him.
Mommy didn't have time for jazzercise. She didn't have the money for it, in fact, because she was paying for
aerobics.
Your skating. And I didn't give all that up just to watch you smile through your goddamn makeup. Anyway.
Oh, well, that's on that note.
So let's get into Fan Corner on that note.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound good?
Let's go right there then.
Welcome to Fan Corner. Guys, I'm starting to crash a little bit from the jet lag. Like, just talking is exhausting me.
Okay.
So feeble. So anyway.
You can go first.
Yeah, so I've got a fun one. So a couple weeks ago, or it could have been last week, I don't remember. They all jumble in my head. But we talked about sharks and our shared fascination and hatred of sharks. Well, at least I hate them. I don't know if you do or you're just scared of them.
I'm petrified of them.
Yeah. I hate them because I'm scared of them. But also, it's best to know your enemy. So I like to know everything there is to know about a shark. But anyway.
Wait, speaking of that, so the other day, have you ever heard of Oshearch? Oshearch?
Yes, it is.
It's a shark tracker.
It's a shark tracker. So they tag.
And they have weird names, like nice names for these sharks. That are like 16 foot long and weigh 456 pounds. And it gives you all the details on it. And then you can see where I've been, you know, just like a cute little see where I've been hanging out. This great white shark.
This 20 foot long great white shark that lives off the East Coast. And
right?
It pings when it goes by these radar things and this ocean arch, whatever, arc. It tracks them. And they put these trackers in the sharks just so that we understand more about shark movements and breeding and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, like, I don't care that much. Like, I do care that there are sharks and that they help the ecosystems. I'm still not going in the water. It doesn't make me not be afraid of them, and it doesn't make me hate them any less. But, you know, they have a place in this world, too. And they were here before we were, whatever.
I know, but I just feel like, don't you wish there was, like, a safe way to just sort of, you know,
move them someplace.
Move them away from shore. You know?
I mean,
and then everyone could just frolic in the ocean and be happy, you know?
Safely. Right. Yeah, but I mean, then we'd have to take out jellyfish and crabs and water scorpions and man bear pigs that live in the water.
I know.
You know, we'd have to take all of those away. But anyway, we had some reaction from talking about sharks, especially from one Twitter user who is Amethyst Gal NV, which I think means Nevada. And she actually sent us a quote by Sean Henricks. And it says, "I have swum with many species of sharks. I wholeheartedly believe they have no interest in humans as food." Now,
I agree, but then some days they get confused, but, you know?
Well, they bite you thinking you might be food, and that bite's enough to kill you.
Right.
So I still don't like sharks. I mean, I know her heart was in the right place sending us that quote, but it doesn't make me fear them or hate them any less, knowing that they aren't going to, you know, chew on me and want to digest me, but just the fact that they will bite you and you will die from that bite. Although I did read an interesting statistic from looking at that. Jason actually sent us yesterday this article about the Delaware beaches and the Cape May, New Jersey beach, that there were two huge great white sharks that pinged off the coast and that I should stay away. I'm not getting in the Atlantic Ocean. We've covered this. But I started really bearing down and looking into all these
I mean,
sharks.
I spent at least an hour on that OceArch, whatever that is, site, just looking at all these places and the types of sharks and...
And these great whites that just, you know,
terrifying.
Baffle the East Coast. It's terrifying. Like an 18-foot shark off the coast of Delaware.
Oh,
it's terrifying
God.
To think about. But then that led mommy into researching how deadly wolverines actually are. And that led to how many gray wolf attacks there have been in the United States over the last year.
Oh, wow.
To what is the most deadly animal in the United States? And then you go on to
what
all
is the most deadly animal?
You know what? There are so many of these Greenpeace-y sort of PETA things that say humans are the most dangerous animals to humans.
And, which is
absolutely true. But, you know, I want to know what kind of tiny spider is going to kill, like, off the most people.
Right.
Or what kind of Floridian alligator is going to kill us.
Black
bears, you know. There's all that stuff. American bison. You know, I've got a real good, fast 40. I really got into it.
Oh,
yay,
man.
Jet lag. Anyway, we thank you for your concern for the sharks, and we're concerned for their well-being as well. We just wish they would swim a little bit farther
just
away from us.
A little bit, you know? You just almost wish that they didn't want to scoop in.
They didn't want to make sure that they couldn't eat us.
Right. Like that they just were like, ew, I hate being close to shore.
Ew, that person smells funny. I don't eat persons that
people.
Smell funny.
Exactly.
I hate people. We just want a little bit more discriminatory shark. Not a shark that bites for taste test. So DRXBY on Twitter, at DRXBY, not really sure of sex or location of DRXBY, but says, "I am way too obsessed with Tara and Johnny."
Aww.
And I mean, that's really sweet, but I feel like you can never be too obsessed with us because we'll always keep giving.
We'll just give you more.
We'll just give you more, Tara and
more
Johnny.
And more TNJ.
Oh, would you like to join me for my bikini wax? Great.
Come.
Come away with me in the night.
Oh,
Nora Jones. Okay, so next one we have from at admoyer09, who is writing from Delaware, in fact, and direct messaged us on Instagram. Now, everyone, our preferred mode of talking to us is via Twitter comments or on Instagram comments. But when you direct message us, it really makes me nervous. And I'm like that small dinosaur from Jurassic Park that really flares up their neck and they get that full sort of coverage because they're afraid and nervous. And they go into attack mode because you never know what you're going to get in a direct message. I mean, there could be full blurry penis on there.
Yeah.
But anyway, A.D. Moyer, thank you for writing this. "Thanks to the podcast, whenever I do something I'm particularly proud of, I hear Johnny in my head saying, 'You're the queen of something.' And she says, it's usually something like, 'You're the queen of sandwiches.' And I just have to put it out there. A.D. Moyer, you, in fact, are the queen of sandwiches. Tara, do you want to give her a queen of?
No, a queen of what, though?
Sandwiches.
Oh, queen of sandwiches.
Yes. So thank you very much for writing in. And I think that might be the end of Fan
Corner.
Yeah, that's
all
the
right.
end of
And
Fan
I think,
Corner.
You know what else? It's sort of like the end of...
The end of, an,
end of
a
another podcast.
But really, before we go, you know, in a more somber note, of course, we have to send our prayers and best wishes for the victims, their families, and the survivors of the Manchester attack, and also that of the very severe thunderstorm that killed 16 people in Moscow area. We are living in a very tragic world, and Tara and I always hope to bring a little bit of humor to you guys. No matter where you are or how you listen to us, we're just always excited to make you laugh. And there's a lot of sad stuff going on in the world. So we're definitely praying for everybody and hope everything will be all right.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, to bring it back up, we really are thankful to all of you that listen to Tara and Johnny, the podcast. I mean, I believe last week we had something close to 6.2 trillion of you.
Oh, my goodness.
That actually, yeah.
So,
you know, there
so
were some
much,
people.
So many.
There were some people that pinged in from a station down in Antarctica that were listening, people in Nuuk, Greenland that were listening, and that shark that pinged in near Lewis
wow.
Beach in Delaware.
Glad he took
Mary,
a little break.
Mary Lee, she was listening as well.
Oh, that's so
so we're really thankful to all of you. If you don't follow us and interact with us already on social media, you probably should, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. That's our joint one. It's the same across all of our platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all of those things. And
all
we're really
all of the things.
All of the things.
Thank
so,
you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
And until next time, Tara, honey, I love you. I miss
I
you.
I love
and,
you more.
And bye.
How do you choose a date? Whose company would you enjoy? Well, one thing you can consider is looks.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.